Okay, we start on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara says, two lines up from the bottom, Mai Mizbeach Adama. What is meant by a Mizbeach Adama? Shehu, Mechubar Adama, it's attached to the ground. Shelo Yivnenu Lo Agabe Kipin, Velo Agabe Mechilot. And this is something that we had seen previously, that you can't build it on top of a dome or an arch, and not on top of any tunnel. Now, as Tosus points out right away, we just saw that they extended, in the time of the Bayit Sheni, they extended the span of the Mizbeach to 32 by 32 to incorporate the Shitin that were in the southwest corner. Well, the Shitin, or obviously it was a bor, was an empty space. So as Tosus says, bor shoshitin lo haya chashuv mechila, that's not considered a tunnel, came into hu tzorech ha-mizbeach. Because it's a part of the functioning of the Mizbeach. Mechila, that's a problem. A tunnel, that's a problem, is if the tunnel is independent or not necessary for the Mizbeach. Here, the Shitin, or the gathering spot, the area where the Nisuch Hayayin went down into, and therefore it was necessary for the Mizbeach. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Lav Hainu Detanyo. Didn't we have a Breita that said, you know, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Yosef got sick and lost a lot of his learning. And then sometimes he remembered something that he had learned earlier, and he was chozer by what he had said previously. So we've already had a statement from Rav Yosef about why the Mizbeach of the Bnei Agolah, or the Mizbeach of Bayit Sheni, was bigger, of 32 by 32, because Rav Yosef said, Mishum Tolo Sipek, it wasn't sufficient. The old Mizbeach wasn't sufficient for the number of karbonot, and then we had the discussion about why it wasn't sufficient. There were fewer people, so why wasn't it sufficient? And we said, because we didn't have the help of the Eish Min HaShemayim. So now, Rav Yosef says something that seems to contradict that previous statement. Rav Yosef, Lavanu Detanyo, Ve'yachinu HaMizbeach HaMechonutav, Shigyu L'Sof Midotav, that they fixed up the Mizbeach in its proper way, meaning that they got to the proper measurements, they knew the exact measurements of the Mizbeach. V'haktiv, Haktko B'chtav Miyad Hashem Alai Yizkil, we've quoted this pasuk a number of times, this is by David HaMelech, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the blueprint for the Mikdash, and that blueprint that comes from the Navi, Meit Hashem, is immutable. Can't change it. Everything's done, set in stone. So what do you mean they were fixing up the Mizbeach to the proper measurements? Ela Amar Yosef, Kra Ashkach V'Dorash. They found a Pasuk, and they were Doresh. V'yom David, Zehu Beit Hashem HaElokim, V'zeh Mizbeach Le'ola L'Yisrael. Kibayit, just like the house. Ma bayit shishim ama, just like the house, I mean the heichal was 60 ama, af mizbeach shishim ama. Also the mizbeach was 60 ama. So to solve the problem, the Gemara says, well, if everything was in a blueprint, and you have to follow the exact same print that they had from beforehand, how was it that the Bnei Agolah, or the Bayit Sheni, they expanded the mizbeach beyond the measurements that it was in the time of Shlomo HaMelech? We saw that already, that they added four amot on the west and on the southern side, at least according to Rashi. My answer is, oh, hey, they found a pasuk that says that it's okay. What was the pasuk that said it was okay? They said a pasuk by David that compares the Beit Hashem Elokim to the Mizbeach HaOlah. Just like the Bayit, the Echal is 60 amot, so too the Mizbeach can be 60 amot. But we know they didn't make the Mizbeach 60 amot. They made the Mizbeach 32 by 32. So then Rashi explains, Tosu says the same thing, is that Shishim Ama is the maximal. You have the span that was Nit Kadesh in order to allow for a Mizbeach was up to 60 by 60. So even though the original Mizbeach was not 60 by 60, it was 28 by 28, that was the footprint of the original Mizbeach, there is enough space, or there's enough area of the Azara that was Nit Kadesh to make a Mizbeach that's 60 by 60. So when the Bnei Agolah came up, they made it 32 by 32, they were still within the confines of that 60 Amot that they learnt out. And they were Dorish it from the Pasuk, by David HaMelech that brings this comparison. The interesting comment that Rashi makes is that they did this drasha, even though Shlomo HaMelech didn't know how to make this drasha, wasn't able to make this drasha. So it says, Shenemar LeDavid, Shishima Ma B'Makom HaMizbeach, B'Shlomo Lehevin Darsho. Shlomo didn't know enough to make this drasha. Deim Darshua V'Osifulav, and they, the Anshei Knesset Gdol, made this drasha, and they expanded the Mizbeach, or with Ezra and the people that returned with the Golah, they made the drasha, and they were able to expand it, which is very interesting in of itself, that Shlomo didn't have this drasha, they did have this drasha to expand the Mizbeach further. Right, Umar says now, Bishlama Bayit Minkarat Zurato. The Bayit itself, I mean the Azarot, the Echal, and all these areas, they knew where the layout was. Ela Mizbeach Minoyode. How did they know what the Mizbeach looked like? The layout of the Mizbeach. How did they know what the Bayit looked like? Rashi says because Yisodot HaChomot, the foundations were still there. When they had destroyed the Mikdash and Bayit Rishon, the foundations were still in place. It was just the upper buildings that were knocked down or destroyed. So when they came back, they were able to find exactly where the layout of the Mikdash was in terms of the Kedushah. The one thing they couldn't do was the Mizbeach. How do they find where the Mizbeach? So Amar Rav Elazar, Ro'u Mizbeach Banui, they saw a Mizbeach built, U'michael Hasar Gadol Omeidu Makriv Alav. They had some sort of vision that they saw a Mizbeach in the place where the Mizbeach should be. And Michael, the Hasar Gadol is overmade, and Makriv Alav, and he's being Karbanot. Reminds me of the menorah with Moshe Rabbeinu, that Nitkasha loves. He gets a vision of the menorah, Be'ish, that shows him what it looks like, and therefore he's able to make it. So over here, they didn't know where the Mizbeach belonged or what to do, and all of a sudden they got a vision of the Mizbeach, and Michael, Hasar Gadol, as you mentioned, the Marsha mentions the fact that there's a Mikdash Lamala, but also in Ritzei, when we say Ritzei, they say is Ritzei Shem Lekech Bam Chayseh Utfilatam, Vashevet Avodah Devir Beitecha, Vishay Yisrael, Utfilatam Bavat Kabel Beratzon. So the question of Vishay Yisrael, Utfilatam Bavat Beratzon, Teratzon Temer Vesel Lamecha. So the Kabel Beratzon, how does it parse? The Gemara asks, how do you parse that? Is it the Vishay Yisrael belong to Utkabel, or is that part of the previous statement in Ritzei? And the difference is that it refers to a medrash that says that the Michael is omer al the mizbeach and makriv the neshamot and the nafshot of the tzaddikim on the mizbeach, and that's what it says: v'yishei Yisrael tefilatam v'avat kabel beratzon. So that yishivim mekabel the yishei Yisrael, that the karbanot of Yisrael yishivim mitkabel. So I was wondering if this concept or this vision is related to that memra in the Gemara that discusses that agado. They saw the pile, the ashes of Yitzchak piled up in that place. Obviously, I'm not sure exactly how that helped them, because it only gave them a part of the place. It didn't give them the whole layout of where the Mizbeach was. But I guess that was the center. They assumed that was the center. But connects, clearly makes the connection between Yitzchak Avinu and the Akedah and the Karbanot and the Mikdash. But Oto Makom, that the Akedah took place, is where the Makom HaMikdash is. And that siman, or that is very important in the direction that it gives us, that we alone, our karbanot, are all derived from the tzivui Hashem, and not because of our desire to do what we want or how we want to worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because when it came to Yitzhak Avinu al Akedah, Hashem said, don't put him on the Akedah, don't put him on the Mizbeach. Hashem was the one who dictated, said yes, and then said no, and we followed the tzivui Hashem. And therefore, we don't have human sacrifices in that sense, because human sacrifices would be or should indicate the ultimate sacrifice towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says no, and says that the Tziva Hashem says that we don't do that, and we follow the Torah. And that's the ultimate worship of Hashem, is to listen to His word and to listen to His Tzivui. If you don't have the Torah, you don't have that Tzivui, then maybe you would end up with human sacrifices. So that connection here between the Tzivui Hashem and the Karbanot that end up on the Mizbeach is very clear and direct. That just like the Karban replaced Yitzchak, and we don't have human sacrifice, so to the Karbanot that we bring, like the Ramban says, replace the what should have been us, or the human sacrifices that should have ended up on the Mizbeach. Everywhere they walked around, they smelled Ketoret. In the location where the Mizbeach should have been, they smelt the cooking, the roasting, the cooking of the limbs of the Karbanot. There were three Nevi'im that came up with Bnei Yisrael in the Gula, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And each one of them served a purpose. Echad, she'id lahem al mizbeach. One of them told them about the mizbeach, the dimensions of the mizbeach. The second one, echad she'id lahem al makom mizbeach. The other one talked about the location of the mizbeach. So the first Nevi told them about the ability or the span that the Mizbeach would take up of the 60 by 60, as well as what they could do to make the Mizbeach. The second one told them where to place the Mizbeach. The third one came to give the din that you can be makriv karbanot, even though there is no Beit HaMikdash. That does not require a Mikdash, just a Mizbeach, there a Makom Mizbeach, because the assumption here is that Kedushat the Bayit Kitcha the Shaita, the Kitcha the Atid Davo. That the Bayit Rishon, the Kedusha that was established in the Bayit Rishon, is permanent and stays forever.
We talked about the Kalaya Chatzer, and that's the Kalaya Chatzer.
The Gemara Megillah discusses that question. They did have Kalayim in the time when they were building the second Bayit. The Machlokas is whether those were just for Tzniut, or whether they were required in order to be Makriv. That machlokas tanaim may relate to. Tosfos argues that it doesn't relate to, but relates to whether kedusha rishona kitcha or not. If you think kedusha rishona is kitcha, you don't need the klayim. You just had them there for tzniut. If you believe that kitcha rishona is low kitcha, then they needed the klayim to make it as if there were walls there and to create a mikdash. Mishkan is not a permanent kedusha. The kedusha is generated by the kalei achatzir that are set up over there. Without the kalei achatzir, there is no kedusha. There's no mishkan without the kalei achatzir.
There seemed to be a given there that that it would not, you could not have it where the kelei achatzir were too low.
Right, that's a mitznius, mishum tzniut. It wasn't a halachic thing. It's, right, it's a orach ara, we'd call it. There are cherets that it shouldn't be, that you need tzniut. It's a Gemara and Megillah, I think, in Daf, Ten Amud Bet, Yudam and Aleph. Alright, so here, again, Rashi connects the two and says, Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat Bayit are connected. That we saw back on Tamach Amud Bet. Rashi mentions that correlation between Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat Bayit. Tosus again reiterates over here in Samach Amud Aleph his ability to differentiate between Kedushat Bayit that might have been permanent, whereas Kedushat Aretz was not necessarily permanent. Although Tosus rejects that, if you look back on Samach Aleph, Tosus rejects that, that's the Shita of the Rambam. And Tosus rejects that Shita because he says that it's absurd. You come up with an absurd situation where you would have the Mikdash be Kadosh, and you could be Makriv Karbanot in the Mikdash without any Mikdash, and bring the Mizbeach and everything's Kadosh, and Truma would be Darabanan. Because the Kedushat Aretz is only Darabanan, whereas the Kedushat Yerushalayim would be permanent. And so that would make it a Din D'oraisa that you could go up there and bring the Karbanot, because it was Kitcha L'atid Lavo. Because of the absurdity, Tosfos tends to favor the other side of that equation, which is that the Kedushat Aretz was permanent, and the Kedushat Bayit was not permanent until the second Bayit. But Rashi back on, if you look on Samach Amud Bet, correlates the Kedusha. He does this in everyone, almost everyone Shas. He correlates Kedusha the Bayit with Kedusha the Aretz. The Shaita. Look at that. Because there are Kedusha Rishona shall Bayit, Kitcha the Shaita, but Kitcha the Tidavo. Kehechi, it's really like Kedusha the Aretz, just like he holds with Kedusha the Aretz. Right, he's explicit about the correlation between them. So, Matnita Tano, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. So, in the Braita we saw Shlosh Neviim Alui Mehem. There were three Neviim in a Gula. Echad Shidahem Al Mizbeach VaMakom Mizbeach. One did both of those. The span, how big the Mizbeach could be, or the shape of the Mizbeach, as well as the location for the Mizbeach. VeEchad Shidahem Shemakivim Al Pishen Bayit. Second one gave them the green light to go ahead and be makrim karbonot, even though the bayit was not yet in place because of a kitcha rishona kitcha d'atidavo. Ve'echad she'idahem ala Torah she'tikatev ashurit, and the other one gave them the testimony that the Torah could be written in ashurit, and that's what we know from Gemara and other places. We learned this in Sanhedrin. It's also in the Gemara in Megillah about the fact that the Torah was originally given in Hebrew in k'tav ivri. Then they were given a time and an option in the time of Ezra to switch it to Ashurit and Aramit. In the end, we chose Ivrit, Hebrew, with Ketav Ashurit. So those are the two combinations. So that Navi came along and told them that they were allowed to have the Torah written in Ketav Ashurit and not in Ketav Ivri. And the difference between them is that the Ketav Ivri is a much more cursive writing. It's also, as Rashi says, it's a Ketav Libona'ah. And the Ketav Libona'ah is something that either has very large letters, or that, according to Tosafot, came from a place that had some sort of writing that wasn't so clear. So that's why they ended up choosing the Ketav Ashurit, which was a clear, nicer script, along with Hebrew, which was the original language that the Torah was given in. In Navi Rashay L'Chadesh Davar, so they had originally come that way, and then Chazar Davar L'Itano, it went back to its original state. That's the way the Gemara answers those questions, generally, when the Navi comes along, that he wasn't the Chadesh, that they had it, Shachachum B'Chazru, and then they brought them back into place. Alright, Tan Rabbanan, Keren V'Kevesh V'Isod V'Ribua Me'akvin. When it comes to the Mizbeach, the fact that it needs the Karnot, the squared out Karnot of an Amma by an Amma cubed, is Me'akev, V'Kevesh, having a ramp, Isod, having the base below, Ribua, which we'll leave that as a question right now, all of those are Me'akvin. Now the Midat Arko, Umidat Rachbo, Umidat Kotmato in Me'akvin. Length, width, and height are not Me'akev. The question of what the word Ribua means, generally people say Ribua means it has to be a square. Although the difficulty with that is that the Torah says, Chamesh Amot Rachbo, Chamesh Amot Arko, Rabua Yeh. Torah lays out, it's going to be 5x5. Rabua, yeah. Well, I already told you it's square because it's 5x5. So what is Rabua, yeah? So Rav Yoel Binun wants to suggest that the word Rabua here means right angles. It has to be on right angles. Not that it's a square, but everything has to be right angles. And that's what the ribua means.
He's saying it doesn't have to be square. It can just be right. It can be right angles.
No, there are two different dinim. One din is that square, which is the midat arkol, midat rachbo. There's a separate din of ribua, which means it must be on right angles. We're going to see now that the midat arkol, midat rachbo, we're not makiv. The ribua is makiv. Because he believes that Shua's Mizbeach, that they uncovered by Hargbizim and Harival, is not in a squared out fashion, it's in a diamond. Because the orientation of the Mikdash is squared out, north-south, that the sides actually face north, south, east, and west. Whereas when it comes to the Mizbeach of Yoshua, it's the corners are north, east, west, and south, not the sides. It's a diamond, connected the Ruchot Olam, versus that the Mikdash was done in a square.
Right angles.
Yeah, right angles, but it was a diamond. They dug it up. It's Adam Zartal. They don't know, but they have pretty good evidence. Yeah. The Mizbeach that Adam Zartal uncovered by Hargbizim and Harival has two interesting features to it. One is that it's actually rectangular and not square. And that's what pushes Rabbi Obinon to say that the Ribua here means right angles and not being squared off. He says, I have evidence of that from Tefillin. Tefillin is Allah HaLamoshim Sinai, number one, Ribua. And there's a second halacha l'moshe nisina that says alach sonam, that their hypotenuses are equal. So when the Gemara wants to tell us alach moshe nisinai ribua, that's talking about it has to be all right angles. When it wants to tell us that it's square, it tells us that the hypotenuses are equal, and that's how we know that it's square. So over here, when we use the term ribua, ribua just means right angles, and that would explain why the mizbeach found by Adam Zartal that we think is Yeshua's mizbeach was a rectangle, not a square, because there is no requirement for square. There's just a requirement for right angles. The other thing that's interesting about the Mizbeach, as we mentioned before, is that the orientation is to the Ruchot Olam, not like we have in the Mikdash, where it's squared off versus the Ruchot Olam. And he wanted to explain, it's an interesting idea, that it depends where you are. If you are Lifnei Petach Ol Moed, if you're in front of the Petach Ol Moed, then you have a convergence of the Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona and the Petach Ol Moed. The line that comes west, east out of the Petach Ol Moed, and you have the north-south line that's going from Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona, they cross, and then you have a crossover point where you have all four Ruchot Olam are converging in a single location. And that will be in the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Whereas when you're outside of the Mikdash, or you don't have a Petach Ol Moed, then you put the Mizbeach on a diamond to create the convergence of Ruchot Olam on the Mizbeach itself, because there is no Lifnei Petach Ol Moed. Based on that, he wanted to make another suggestion, which is that here when we say that the three Nevi'im came up and one of them told us, Makrivim, Alpha, Bisha, and Bait, means that when they built the Mizbeach, when they first came up, the Bnei Agolah, they built it as a diamond because there was no Petach Ol Moed. What's the size of Mizbeach they built? They built a Marocha of 20 by 20. That was the Marocha that we find, or that's what's found in the Psukim by Shlomo HaMelech. So they built the Mizbeach of 20 by 20. Later on, once they already built the Heichal and they had a Petach Ol Moed, they wanted to square it off. Well, if you take a Mizbeach that's a diamond of 20 by 20 and square it off, you basically come up with a Mizbeach that is 28 by 28. It's roughly that way. It's a little bit bigger. But basically, a Mizbeach that's 28 by 28, which is the Mizbeach described in Masechet Midot. In addition to that, there's the other four Amot. Those four Amot are the Sovev and the Yisod that are added around the top of that Mizbeach. So he claims that the transition from Makivim Afol Pishein Bayit, where it was oriented as a diamond, 20 by 20, to the squared out 28 by 28 is what caused the Mizbeach to be that size. And that's the question of the Gemara. Why Hosifu? What did they add on? This is what he says. They added on because they were transitioning from an orientation that didn't have a Petach Ol Moed to something that did have Petach Ol Moed. Sminan Emile, where do we know that these things are Ma'akev? Am Ravuna Amar Kra, Ha Mizbeach with the Hei Adida. Kol Makom Shner Ha Mizbeach La'akev. Anytime he uses the Hei Adida by the Mizbeach and it's associated with another word, that means that that item is Ma'akev. That's because it's using the Hei Adida with the item. So we can go through each one of them. You have by the Yisod, it says El Yisod HaMizbeach. By the Karnot, it says Karnot HaMizbeach. By the Kevesh, it says El Pnei HaMizbeach. And obviously the Kevesh is on the front of the Mizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach, because that's where you enter in the Mizbeach. And Ribua, it says Rabua Yeh HaMizbeach. So all of these things have HaMizbeach associated with those four items, which is Karen, Kevesh, Yisod, and Ribua, and therefore they are all Me'akev. So but the Gemara says, El Me'ata Ki'ur the Rebbe, Ulusovev the Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Hachinachemi de Me'akev. So if that's the case, that you say HaMizbeach is what causes the ikuv, that should apply either to the Ki'ur, the decoration, design that is placed on the Mizbeach and the Choshet according to Rabbi, or the Sovev according to Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. Hachinachemi de Me'akev, that should be Me'akev, Dichtiv, because it says, Natata oto tachat karkov hamizbeach milamato. You place it underneath the karkov hamizbeach. Well, what is the karkov hamizbeach? Atani ezu karkov. Rabbi Omer ze kiur. That is a design that was made on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ze asovev. That is the band that goes around. In Tanya, maybe what? You're right. Tanya, oto yom nifgra keren mizbeach. On that day, it's the Gemara in Sukkah, when one of the tzdukim was a Kohen or Kohen Gadol, was pouring the nisuch hamayim. The tzdukim did not believe in nisuch hamayim, so instead of pouring on the mizbeach, he poured it onto his feet. People got upset. They saw him doing this. They stoned him with the etrogim, and it ended up damaging the corner of the mizbeach. Ve'viu bul shamelech, they brought a fistful of salt, v'satmua, and they fixed it. Lo mipnei shekasher l'avodah, not because that makes it kasher l'avodah, ela shelo yireh mizbeach pagum, so that the mizbeach would not look like it was, you know, not properly or not properly squared out. Shekom mizbeach she'en lo keren v'kevesh v'yisod v'ribu ha'pasul. So all of these things, any of these things that are missing, then it is pasul. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, af sovev. And so you see explicitly Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda adds in the sovev because he believes that the karkov is the sovev. And by the word karkov, it says ha mizbeach. What this karkov is, we're about to discuss. What is this sovev in the cure that we just discussed? So Tara Banan, ezu karkov. What is the karkov? Karkov is ben keren the keren, makom iluach v'klei kohanim. The space between the karnot hamizbeach, that's where the kohanim walked. Atu kohanim ben keren the keren, av asle, wait a minute. How could you, that ama, how could the kohanim walk around? Every time you walked around in that ama, you got to the corner, you bump into the keren, you couldn't walk anymore. There's no way that you can have a circumference, something that allows you to walk around the mizbeach if you're going to bump into the karnot. Ella, you have to amend this to read, and the proper way to read it is, that elima umakom hiluch regleh kolamim ama, that the karkov includes both the space between the karnot as well as another ama strip around inside of the karnot that is considered the makom hiluch regleh ha kohanim. Both of those are classified as the karkov. Baktiv, Mar says, wait a minute, how could you call that the karkov? It says tachat karkuvo milamata ad chetzion. On the sides, on the walls of the mizbeach and the choshet, they placed the michbar reshet, the netting, decorative netting that was down on the sides of the mizbeach that dropped from the karkuvo downwards until the halfway point of the mizbeach. Well, if the karkuvo, according to you, was on the top of the mizbeach, how will you have something that's hanging down the sides of the mizbeach? So Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Trei Havu. There were two karkuvim. Chad l'noi v'chad l'kohanim. One was for noi, one was kohanim, the little dishtarku, and the second one was for the kohanim in order that they did not slip. So over here, if you see in the picture that I give you here, according to Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you have here, we go with Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who believes that the mizbeach and the choshet was actually 10 amot high. Based on the fact that the mizbeach is 10 amot high, he thinks the top is 5 by 5. The top is 5 by 5, that means the karnot take up one amah. The second amah is taken up by the makom hiluch regleh kohanim. And then you have a center, which is the marachah, which is 1 by 1. And that's what we already saw in the Gemara, that discussion that he believed that the marachah was 1 by 1. On the top, the two amot out from the marachah had this netting on it, had this area, it's a netting or a dip in that area that allowed it so the kohanim would not slip. And that was what the karkov was over there. The karkov was so the kohanim would not slip, and that was designed on top of the mizbeach. Below, down on the side of the mizbeach, there was another karkov. As Rashi says, it was a blita, some sort of protrusion from the mizbeach that was 6 amot off the floor. That protrusion that was 6 amot off the floor, the midpoint of the mizbeach is 5 amot. So from the 6 amot downward, which is tachat karkuvo, karkuvo is at the 6 amot point, down ad chetzio, until halfway of the mizbeach, which is where the chuta sikra should have been, where the midpoint of the mizbeach is, there was a michbar reshet. There was some sort of band that went around, some sort of netting that went around. The machlokis between Rabbi Yosef Yud and Rabbi is about this karkuvo. What was the karkuvo? According to Rabbi Yosef Yud, it was a sovev. It was something that protruded out of the mizbeach and went around it. According to Rabbi, it was a design. It was coloring or designs along the side of the mizbeach that indicated where the karkuvo was, and the reshet dropped down from there to the midpoint of the mizbeach. It's not clear, I just leave it, it's a tzarachion, but in Rashi, it's not clear whether there really was an actual soveiv to the Mizbeach. Over here, Rashi seems to indicate, and Rashi in Chumash, if you look at Rashi in Chumash, he seems to say that there was no real soveiv around the Mizbeach and the Choshet. That it was just this protrusion that went out, but nobody walked on it. On the other hand, if you go back, when Rashi mentioned discussing the Elef Lishlomo, on Daf, Nuntel Amud Bet, there Rashi seems to indicate that there was a soveiv that was outside of the 5x5 top of the Nechoshet, and there it sounds like there is a real soveiv that's an Amma wide. So I drew it like based on the Rashi here and the Rashi in Chumash, but it's possible that the protrusion was a little further out if I believe there was a real soveiv over there. So that answers our question now.
You walk all the way around on the soveiv.
That's in the Mikdash. That's the time of the Nidos, the time of the Mikdash. Here we're talking about the Mizbeach Nechoshet. It's clear in the Mikdash there's clearly a soveiv around the Mizbeach. It's a question by the Mizbeach Nechoshet whether that's true or not. The Karkuvo, now, the explanation is we have two Karkuvos. One is on the top of the Mizbeach, which is two Amot strip all the way around, which was, in other words, that the Kohenim didn't slip. And the second one at the six Amot point, that was a belt around the Mizbeach Nechoshet, which either was some sort of protrusion or kiur design, depending on who you hold, like Rabbi Yossi or Yehuda Rabbi, but that was Ma'akev. That Karkov is Ma'akev, and that's what the Gemara is talking about, that the Karkov is Ma'akev, along with the Keren Yisod and the Kevish.
How did we learn out that you have this Karkov on the top as well?
They just said, Ezu Karkov, and then they have a bright that says, Ben Keren the Keren, Makom Eloch Gregle Yoganim. So the Gemara wants to know that Soter, what it says in Chumash. So what is the bright talking about? So the bright is talking about this other impression on the top of the Mizbeach that was done so the Kohanim would not slip. Midat Arko, Midat Chubo, Midat Komatoi Ma'akvin. The length, width, and height are not ma'akev. Avarabani, ubavad shlo yifchatenu mi mizbeach shasa Moshe. It can't be smaller than the mizbeach of Moshe. It can be bigger than Moshe's mizbeach and the choshet, but can't be smaller. Vikamo, what was the mizbeach of Moshe? Amar Yosef, amah. Moshe's mizbeach was an amah by an amah. Mechaku alei, they laughed at him. Chamesh amot orech, chamesh amot rochav. Ravuya mizbeach. It's clear. The Torah specifically states that it's 5x5. What are you talking about, Rabbi Yosef? That's 1x1. So Amar Abaye, Dilma Makom Aracha Kamar. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, maybe you were explaining the Makom Aracha, which we said before, according to Rav Yosef's position, that the top of the Mizbeach is 5x5, then the Makom Aracha that's left is only 1x1. So that's what Abaye says, maybe Rav Yosef, that's what you were explaining, was the Makom Aracha was 1x1. So Amar Le, Gamar Gabarabahu. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, you're a great man, Yodamai Kamino. You knew what I was speaking about, and you knew how to explain it. But Kari Alayu, those other people who are laughing at me, Bnei Keturah. They are the children of Keturah. Children of Keturah are children of Abraham, but they're not really Mizrei Yitzchak and Yaakov. They're not Jewish, but they're Bnei Keturah. So they look like they know what's going on. They look like they're really into things, but in the meantime, they don't know anything. Because here they couldn't understand what I was saying. Bnei Achdei de Rabbi Tarfon, the nephews of Rabbi Tarfon through his sister, Abu Yatvei Kamei de Rabbi Tarfon. They were learning in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Potof Amar, he said, in Pasuk, V'Yosef Abraham, V'Yikach Isha Ushma Yochani. That Abraham went ahead and took another wife named Yochani. The Torah doesn't say that. Ushma Keturah is what it says in the Torah. Amrilei Keturaktiv, they piped up and said, no, it says Keturah. Karalehem Bnei Keturah. Rabbi Tarfon called them Bnei Keturah. Now Rashi gives some more background to the story here that Rabbi Tarfon was having trouble with these nephews of his, that they didn't speak up about anything. He was speaking Torah, all these different things in Torah, and they didn't ever ask anything, they didn't even say anything. All of a sudden he quoted a pasuk from Chumash about Yochani, and they corrected him and said Bnei Keturah. So he called them Bnei Keturah. These are children, they don't really know anything. They only know the basics, they only know the mikra, they don't know anything in Halacha, and that's why he called them Bnei Keturah. So obviously the story is brought here not for any other reason except for that same name was called. So the individuals here, they were both called Bnei Keturah in both of these instances. Amar Abaye Barhuna, Amar Rav Chamar Baguria, Gzirin Sha'asa Moshe, the wood that was placed on the Marachava Moshe, or Kanama, these logs were one amah long, Virachbanama, and they were one amah wide, Vovyan, and their thickness, or their width, was Kemacha Godesh Sa'adah. The stick that is used to clear off the top. When you have a measurement of a sa'ah, when you pile the grains in there, they come over the top. So there's a machak, a stick that flattened it out on the top. That stick, so they were as wide as that stick. So they were a ma long and an ama wide. And then their thickness was only that small amount. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, ba'ama gduma. The ama that they used here wasn't a real full ama. It was a cut down ama. It was a smaller ama. Tosfos brings from the Aruch that was a gruma, not guduma. But the idea being that they weren't full amot, because if you remember, the maracha, according to Rabbi Yossi, is an amah by an amah. If you put on the wood on there in an amah, it means that they reach all the way out to the place that the Kohanim are walking around, then they could get burnt or singed by it. So the amot were not full amot, they were smaller amot, in order that they didn't take up the whole maracha, and they were still around. When the Kohanim walked around, they wouldn't get singed by the maracha that was there. I'm Rabbi Yosef. The lav hainu d'tanyo. Is this not what we had a brayta? Al eitzim ashel ha'esh ashel ha'mizbeach. Shelo yehu eitzim yotzim min ha'mizbeach klum. We have a brayta that says that the eitzim may not protrude from the mizbeach at all. Why do you have to say amah geduma? Just say it was an amah mitzumtzemet. It was an exact amah, Rav Yosef says. Because the brayta says, al eitzim ashel ha'esh ashel ha'mizbeach, shelo yotzim yotzim min ha'mizbeach klum. That they can't extend over the mizbeach. Well, if it's an amah, by an amah, then obviously Amah could fit exactly into the space of the Maracha, but it won't extend beyond it. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara, that the suggestion by Rabbi Yirmiyah is to put an Amah Duma, a cut-off Amah, so it doesn't extend beyond the Maracha. And then Rabbi Yosef comes with a question and says, why would you have to do that? Just put it Mitzumtam. We have a right to place it on the Mizbeach, the entire part of the Maracha, so fill out the entire Maracha. If it's one Amah, it'll fit onto the Maracha. It's not a problem. On the other hand, Tosus brings an alternative Girsa here as not to be geduma, but rather gruma, that you should give it its full amount, you should give it its full ama. So then the question from Yosef is the other way around. Rabbi Yirmiyah comes and says, you can have a generous ama. Along comes Rabbi Yosef and says, what do you mean a generous ama? You can't have the etzim extend beyond the maracha. So they got to be amot mitzumtzamot, because otherwise they're going to extend beyond the maracha, and that's not allowed. Either way, the question remains unresolved, meaning that it's a challenge to Rabbi Yirmiyah, and the Gemara does not answer for Rabbi Yirmiyah. Tanan Hatam. We have a mission over there. Kevesh Ayal Dromashim Mizbeach. It's a mission in Midot, which is Kevesh Ayal Dromashim Mizbeach was on the southern side. Orech Shloshim Ushtaim. It's 32 long, Aruchav Sheshesre, and 16 wide. Minahani Mile. How do we know that Zbeach? I'm Rabbuna Makra. Bishachat Oto, Ayerach Mizbeach Tzafona. That you have to put it on the Yerach HaMizbeach, the end, or the side of the Mizbeach will be in the Tzafon. She'er Yerach B'Tzafon. So we're learning the Yerach meaning the thigh. If the thigh is in the Tzafon, Panav B'Darom, then the face is in the southern side. So we have this Kevish, this ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. The ramp is found on the southern side of the Mizbeach. How do we know that it goes on the southern side? Because the Torah, in describing the Mizbeach, calls it the foot of the Mizbeach on the Tzafon, on the northern side. So that means that the head is on the southern side, and the kevesh is the petach, is the opening, is the head of the mizbeach. So that's how we know that it goes on the southern side. The Gemara says, "Ema yerach b'tzafon, upana b'tzafon." Why don't we say that the head and the legs and the thighs were in the tzafon? So Amarova, Rami Gabra Ape, lay a person down, and his feet are on one side, his head's on the other side. So therefore, the feet are in the north, and the head's up in the south. Amalevai Adraba, Torit Svotim Karba. Pick up, sit him up. If you sit him up, then his legs and his face face the same direction. So let's say that. Let's say that the Yerech and the Pnei HaMizbech are both in the Tzafon. Amalei Rabu Aktiv. Torah says Rabu. Now Rabu over here obviously does not mean squared out, but Rabua, the Rabua Ba'adam Rovetz Umushgav. And when it talks about Rabua for a human being, that means when a person's lying down. That's when he's laid out, flat out. That's Rabua. Don't we need to teach us the din that the Mizbech must be squared out or right angled, not a circle? His answer is, well, I Ravua means prostrated out and not squared, because it's not the word Merubah is not written. He says, wait, if you really want to say prostrate or laid out, it should have said Ravutz and not Ravua. So Amalei Ravua Ktiv, pick the word Ravua, the Mashmachi, Mashmachi, that can be used in both senses. It's not good for either one, but together it gives you both meanings, which is both the Ravua and Meruba, that is squared out, right angles, and as well as the fact that you'd be prostrated, mean that the Yerach is in the Tzafon, and the head is in the Darom, that's where the Kevish goes. Batani Maitula Mehocho, we have another Braisa, or Tana, that brings it from another location. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it says, Umalu Tehu Pnot Kadim, that when it goes up, his ascents go to the Kadim, to the east. Kopinot shatapone, any turns that you make, lo yelo derech yamin lemizrach, should be to the right, to the east. Well, if you are going up onto the Mizbeach, and you have to make a right turn, how is the only way that you can end up in the east? If you're going up the southern side. If you're ascending the Mizbeach on the southern side, then your right turn will land you in the east. If you ascend from the northern side, a right turn will land you in the west. So there's a proof that the Panim, or the Kevesh, has to be on the southern side. Where it says, Ve'ema Smol, the Mizrach. Where do you see the word Yamin in the Pasuk? All the Pasuk says you have to end up in the east. So why don't you go up on the northern side, make a left turn, and you'll end up in the east. Lo sakadatcho, we wouldn't think that. The Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, Yamsha Sashmumo, the Kior that Shlomo HaMelech made, Omeid al Shnemasar Bakar, standing on top of 12 oxen, Shlosha Ponim Tzfona, Ushlosha Ponim Yama, Ushlosha Ponim Negba, Ushlosha Ponim Mizracha, three facing north, three facing west, three facing south, and then three facing east. If you are facing the Kior, and you're enumerating these items, if you start in the north, then you go to the right, you'll be in the west. If you go to the right again, you'll be in the south. If you go to the right again, you'll be in the east. And you see that the Navi describes that Kior of Shlomo is by going around, making right turns all the way around it. So you see from there that we always opt to go to the right when we have that choice. So the omen should be the right to the Mizrach. So therefore, that's how we know it. Where it says, Ami Baila, the Gufei. We need that to teach us where the Bakar were. You have 12 Bakar, how they were situated. We needed that. So when it says, Im came Ponim, Ponim, Lamali. Why do you have to each time say Ponim? You could say, Bakar Shlosha Tzfona, Ushlosha Yama, Ushlosha Negba, Ushlosha Mizracha. What is the word Ponim used each time? It means that here, this is the way to enumerate things. When you're facing them, always move to the right when you're enumerating.
The irony is that by making that choice, they only make one right turn in the entire.
Gemara, in terms of the left turn and the right turn, they don't view it as being a left turn. They view it as if he's facing into the Mizbech. And as long as you're facing the Mizbech, you're always making right turns around. It's not like you're walking straight and you have your side to the Mizbech. The assumption here is the Kohen is always facing the Mizbech, and therefore every turn he's making is a right turn. Alright, now, Sha'al Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, ben Lekunya Rabbi Yossi, Omer Ayyub Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Avir Yesh ben Kevesh the Mizbech. There was a gap between the ramp and the Mizbech. And you don't think so? You're asking me this because you don't think there was actually that gap there? Alok Farnemar, it says, Vasita Olotecha Basar Vadam. You should do your Olot Basar and Dam. Ma Dam Zrika, just like the Dam has to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, the Zrikata Dam. Basar Zrika, so too the limbs have to be thrown on the Mizbeach. You could stand next to the maracha, next to the burning pyre, and throw the stuff on. Why do you have to have a gap by the kevish to force him to throw it from there? When you go and throw onto the maracha, is it a lit? Or is it extinguished? It's not lit yet. It's clear that he's throwing onto a fire or pyre that's already lit. It's already lit. He can't get close. He has to throw it. Because he can't place it down on the fire. He has to throw it. So if that's the case, over there, the reason that he's doing it is because he has no other choice. So the pasuk can't be coming to teach you that stand next to the maracha and throw it, because that's what you have to do at that point, because there's no other way to put it on. A burning fire, a burning pyre, you can't just place something on it, you have to throw it. So it must be, if the pasuk telling you to throw it, must mean that it's telling you an additional distance to throw it from, and that is the gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach. Rav Papa Amar, Kidam, Ma Dam Avir Karka Mafsiko, just like by dam, when you zerek the dam, there's ground underneath it. That's mafsik. Also over here, when the basar is thrown, you need ground beneath it. Now Tosus claims that when he says avir, it doesn't literally mean the ground below it, but rather simply something off the level that you're on. So that actually brings us to a three-way machlokas, a brother for you here, and the avir ben kevesh the mizbeach. How big was that gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach? Rashi over here says that it was avir ma'at mafsik bentayim. It was a small amount, and Rashi in Chumash calls it a kechuta sara, like a kol shehu. It was a tiny amount that the kevesh was moved away from the mizbeach. That means that it came down, if you could see it, it came down on an angle, because if you drop down for the first three amot, you're going to hit the silvev. So then it had to move around the silvev and go down. But according to Rashi's point, there was this little gap there, but you could not see the karka from there. Tosus, on the other hand, over here says that the position of Rav Papa and the position of Rav Yossi are synonymous or similar, that they have no difference in their opinion, and that they require a avir de minkara, a space that is visible or obvious. And so that's what they have here. They have a space that is slightly bigger than that which Rashi would have required, but the same way that the dimensions come down. There's a shita brought by a Tosos called the Rabbeinu Chaim, and then the Rabbeinu Chaim suggests that you actually have to see the karka. Rashi here in Rapapa makes the same suggestion that you'd have to actually see the karka. That means that the kevesh was actually a little more than an amma away from the mizbeach, because you had to clear the sovev, and then you had to have a little space to go down to the karka. So if you really need to see the karka, like Rashi is suggesting in Rapapa here, and the Rabbeinu Chaim on Pei Zayin and Mudbet in the Tosfot over there, then you would actually require to have to be a little, the spacing would actually be a little more than an amma in order to have it that you could drop down all the way to the bottom, which would be a big gap for the Kohanim to get over. Pretty big gap for them to get over. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shnei Kevashim Ketanim Yotzim Min HaKevesh. There were two smaller ramps that went after the main ramp. Shem Bonim LiYisod Ol LeSovev. And from them you would clear, go out to the Yisod and the Sovev. Umudabil Min Hezbeach Lo Neima. And their distance from the Hezbeach, the smallest amount. And that's why if you look in the Rambam seems to see the same as the Sheet of the Tosfos, because there are two different distances. There's the Lo Neima, which is for the smaller ramps. And then there's an Avir Ma'at, a larger space that is for the Kevesh HaGadol. So like the Rambam, like the Tosfos seems to see that you need a bigger space between the Mizbeach and the Kevesh than you would need between the two smaller Kvashim. Now what these smaller ramps are, if you look on the last page of the handout that I gave you, happens to be a Machloket HaRishonim, exactly how those small ramps laid out. Rashi and the Rambam believe that you had two ramps. There was a ramp on the right side that went off the big ramp onto the Sovev, and that's the way the Kohen, when he wanted to do the Avodah of the Chatat, he'd go up to the Sovev, he'd go up on the right side, up the Kevesh. On the other hand, the left ramp, or the ramp to the western side, was a ramp that descended from the Kevesh down to the Yisod. And that's so when the Kohen came off the Mizbeach, and he has to put the Shari Adam on Yisod Dromi, he could go from the ramp and go on a decline from the ramp down to the Yisod Dromi and pour the Shari Adam over there. That's the Shita of Rashi from the Pashas Rambam. That also seems to be his Shita. Tosfos, on Samach Dalet, questions Rashi's understanding here. Rashi says that there was no ramp to the Sovev on the western side or on the left side. Tosfos says, then what does a Kohen do? A Kohen who goes up to do the Chatat, he gets onto the Sovev on the right side. He gets to the Keren Dromit Maravit. What does he do now? He has no way to get down. He has to then go back and retrace his whole steps to come off. So is that what you were intending? So Tosfos says, I think there's a ramp onto the Sovev on both sides. There's a ramp on the western side so that the Kohen can come off the Sovev when he finishes doing the Avodah of the Chatat. Tosfos leaves a Tzarech Yon on himself. He says, what about our Gemara right here? Gemara over here says, Amar Rav Yehuda, there were only two ramps that came off the main ramp. I'm suggesting that there are three ramps. So there is an alternative sheet in the Tosfos, which by the Tosfos Yom Tov and the Chanukat HaBayit suggest that in order to answer the problem for Tosfos, that second ramp off the Sovev did not actually attach to the Kevesh HaGadolah, but rather connected down to the Kevesh that went to the Yisod. And therefore, the answer to the question is, yes, there were three kvashim. That's how the Kohen got off the Sovev. When he went around for the Chatat, he came off the western ramp that comes off the Sovev. Rabbi Yehuda says there are only two kvashim. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about how many ramps came off the main ramp. The main ramp only had two ramps coming off of it. There were three ramps there, but only two of them actually came off the middle ramp. So that was a compromised position. There is also a position of the Ritva. The Ritva has a position similar to Rashi in the Rambam. It's in the Gemara in Sukkah. The Ritva suggests that in addition to the two ramps that Rashi has, there were another two ramps towards the top of the Kevesh that went to the Karnot, the Karen on each side. They went to the southeastern Karen and one to the southwestern Karen towards the top of the Kevesh. I didn't draw it for you. It's a very strange sheet of where the Ritva came up from that and what the purpose of going up those ramps was. He writes over there what he thinks the purpose is for, but it seems very strange that they had those two upper ramps, but at least that's the sheet of the Ritva. Right, so that's in terms of ramps. Now the Gemara says, why are they separated from the Mizbeach? Because the Mizbeach, it says Saviv. It says Rabua, it has to be square. I need both these items. Had you just written Saviv, I mean a Da'agil Me'agel. What? Okay, Saviv means I just make it circular, no problem. So Rabua comes to you, you've got to have right angles. If the Torah is just written Rabua, Ava Mina Da'arich B'Katin, that it could be rectangular. So Kedav Rachmana Saviv. Saviv tells me that it should be square, not rectangular, not in any shape you want. So the word Saviv is what teaches you square. Rabua seems to teach you right angles. This is another proof to this idea that we mentioned before, Rabbi Obinun, that the Rabua here is talking about the right angles, not about it being a square. It's not Hatam. We have a mission over there. A Kevesh, Vamizbeach, Shishimushtaim. So that the Mizbeach and the Kevesh took up on the floor plan of the Azara, they only took up 62 Amot. We actually got this in the Gemara earlier on Nundalit Amad Aleph. The Gemara says, how could that be? How could it be? Hani shitin barbabu. They released 64. So if you look here, the kedesh is 32 amot long, and evident on the pictures on page 3, and the mizbeach itself is also 32 amot. You add those two together, you get 64. So how do they only take up 62 amot on the floor space? The answer is, nitzap oreach amal yusov amal also veiv. The answer is, and this is what we said on Nandalat Amad Aleph, again, you have a picture here on page 4 of the pictures, that the ramp actually sat on the mizbeach itself, on the soveiv, one amah, and on the yisod, or what would have been the yisod in that location. It sits over there, and therefore two amot of the kevesh itself were sitting on the mizbeach, the span of the mizbeach, and therefore the mizbeach itself was 32 amot, but the floor line of the kevesh was only 30 amot, so together they make up 62 amot. Just this piece is missing. He just takes this piece out. Doesn't change. He doesn't move the kevesh. He just pulls out the piece that's there. You can see it in the picture, the diagram that I showed over there, that it was pulled, the piece is pulled down. So Amarami Bachama, Kol Kivshei Fashim Shalosh Amot Amah. All the ramps in the Migdash, they move, and you can see this again on page 3. Every 3 amot they move horizontally, they rise 1 amah. But that's not true of the Kevesh HaGadol. Chutz Mikiv Shosho Mizbeach, that ramp was not as steep. It was a shallower incline because it was heavy weight and there's a lot to carry up of it. That was Shlosh Amot Umechsa Ve'etzbo Shlish. For every amah it climbed, then horizontally it moved 3.5 amot plus 1 1/3 etzbaot bizichuta. Rashi's gives here zichuta, which means that using the bigger etzbaot, which means that there are actually 4 etzbaot in a tefach, not the 6 etzbaot in a tefach. And therefore, if you multiply that by 9, the 9 amot, because the kevesh climbs 9 amot, that means that that's the, if it's 1 amah, climbs 9. 9 times the 3.5 gives you 31.5 amah. 9 times the 1 1/3 etzbaot gives you 9 9/3, which is 12 etzbaot. The 12 etzbaot, based on Rashi's calculation here, that 4 etzbaot equal a tefach, then you end up with 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim is half an amah. So then you have 31.5 plus half is 32 amot. So that gets you the span of 32 amot horizontally for the vertical climb of 9 amot. But that means that the kevesh itself, the span of the kevesh itself is 33 plus. Probably somewhere between 33.25 and 33.33. It's machlokas in the Rishonim, depending on how high you really think this kevesh is and how long it is based on the tefachim. There are some tzarechiyuns here because like the Rambam and other in the Perush Mishnah says that the ramp itself was 32 amot. The only way the ramp itself could be 32 amot is if the base is 30 amot. So that's the other solution, could be the solution to the problem, is that if it's really 62, when the Mishnah was enumerating the 32 amot, it wasn't indicating the floor space of the kevesh, but rather the incline of the kevesh. If the incline of the kevesh is 32, then the floor space it takes up is 30. If you do that, then that's 30 plus the 32 in his back would give you 62. That would be another way to solve the problem. I didn't see anybody who said that, but that would be an easy way to do it, because the Rambam Perush Mishnayot actually says that the base was 30 and the incline was 32, although he's claiming the base is 30 because two amot sit on the mizbeach. That means that it's really 32 and the incline which should be more. So that is the tzarchin on the Rambam and the Perush Mishnayot. There are those that say here that Rami Bar Chama is arguing on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda before that says there were only two ramps, but rather he indicates that there were other ramps there. The ramps didn't come off the main kevesh because it had a different incline, but he indicates there were other kevashim there that went up. And since the inclines were steeper on those other inclines, they sat separately from the kevesh, and maybe he's arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. There are those that claim that, and he's arguing on Rabbi Yehuda and claiming that there are other kevashim that went directly to the ground, not to the kevesh of the dole. Okay, we'll stop over here.